And we're going to continue where we left off from this morning. And if you wouldn't mind standing in respect to God's word tonight, so we read the scriptures together. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning from verse 1, we'll read together. Ready? Verse 1 through to 8. Ready? Begin. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Together now. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. God bless the reading of his word to us. You may be seated. We're going to continue with the characteristics of true love found in this passage of scripture. We touched on a few this morning and we'll continue tonight. For the sake of time, I'm not going to recap. We're just going to get straight into the message tonight. And we're going to go straight into charity, simply beareth all things. If you see that in verse 7, charity bears all things. Charity bears all things. Bearing all things, it means to endure with or to suffer. Love does not give up or give in, but it continues with, even to the point of suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest example of that. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we may be that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." By his suffering, we received forgiveness of sin, and by his suffering, we know a more perfect way, this righteous way, this true way of love. And Jesus Christ bore our sins, and he endured that, and he continued with it, even to the point of death. Why? Because he was demonstrating true love. True love bears all things. True love bears a hard marriage. You know, when true love is tested, it's when you're going through the tough times, and things are not going all well, and you've been hurt or done wrong by, and yet you endure with that person because you love them. You endure because you want things to work. You endure because you want to stay true to the vows that you have once vowed to on that wedding altar. You endure because you just simply want to show that love that God has shown you. It bears all things. It bears a hard marriage. Let me say this. It bears hard friendships. These days, friendships are broken, easily forgotten, and left out because of an argument or of little things that have taken place. People are so easy to quit these days and don't bear with others, don't forgive, and don't love others. They easily give up. And true love bears with the church. Well, the people of God. Did you know that you and I make the church of God? But you and I are fallen, sinful, saved human beings. And you and I, from time to time, perhaps may agitate, or let me say, irritate someone. Did you know the Bible says that love bears with that? The Bible says there in 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Let me say this, that love doesn't hold grudges. It's quick to forgive. It's quick to bear with that person a little longer. Doesn't give up on that person. Love plays an essential part, no doubt, in strengthening and sustaining relationships. If we are flawed people, like mentioned, you and I will simply give offenses, receive offenses, but we must make a choice when those come. We can either harbor that bitterness and hurt, or we can just quickly forgive that person. You say, well, they're not really asking for forgiveness. Just listen, bear a little longer with them. Pray a little longer for them. Maybe at one time, if they realize that they truly hurt you, and if need be, they will come to you. But you need just to bear with that person and pray for that person and don't give up on that person. And the Bible says in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. The Bible says to bear one another's burdens. And one of the ways you and I can bear one another's burdens is to feel someone else's pain, to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. The worst thing that can ever happen is when someone's going through a tough time and you don't see it. Love sees the need of another person and it bears with them. It weeps when they weep and it rejoices when they rejoice together. And that person's gone through a bad day and you don't recognize that they're going through a bad day and you kind of tread on some toes by your actions or attitudes. Perhaps you need to be bared with. Or there are times where people are having a fantastic, wonderful, joyous occasion. Someone gives birth, something takes place, perhaps baptism like this takes place, and you need to rejoice with those people that are rejoicing. Let me remind you tonight, despite our hardship and our trials, this is a wonderful time together. And I know that we go through different things and things take place in our lives. But when we hear someone come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we hear someone wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice with them. And so we bear each other's burdens. Charity, this unconditional love, revives relationships. Especially when the two people exercise this kind of charity. It restores marriages, it reunites families, it rescues dividing churches. Oh, I tell you, most of the problems in our world today in relationships and churches and families can be fixed only if they understood true love and exercised it by God's grace. Not a lot of people are bearing with others or bearing with things or marriages or different things. They are quick to give up and give in. But love doesn't give up on others. It bears with others, forgives others, loves others. But also the Bible says love or truth, love, that is, charity, believes all things. This is to have faith in the truth. This is to love and to trust God's word. Now, we know from reading the prior characteristics of love that it doesn't believe error. So in the context that we're talking about, we're talking that when we say love believes all things, it believes truth. It believes truth of God's word, no doubt. It claims God's promises. It stands on God's word. It does not doubt God's word. It takes God's word for what it is. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And so God loves it when you just trust Him, believe Him. It just shows that you have this spirit-filled characteristic about yourself, exemplifying true love, that you trust your God and you trust His promises. And what's that taking place? You're actually trusting His integrity. He loves that. That's His character. To doubt God is to doubt His love for you. To doubt God is simply not to trust in Him. And if we don't trust in Him and His word and believe in Him, then we're not showing that love for God. And the Bible says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, as we see that love believes all things, the next one we're going to speak about is love hopes all things. Now, this is not claiming God's promise, but this is expecting God's promise. Now, you can claim God's promise, but tomorrow you can kind of fall into doubt again. This is expecting God to answer prayers or answer His promises based on your faith in His word. It looks forward. Let me say this. This hopeth all things, looks forward to the coming of Christ. Do you look forward to the coming of Christ? Do you hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to come back again? Or in your heart of hearts, you say, no, Lord, just hold on a little longer. I'm enjoying myself here. I've set up my estate. I've done some things. I've planned some things. I'm doing some things. I just hold off a little longer. No, love looks forward to the coming of Christ. It looks forward to the rapture in its good sense. Now, we see that many of us can't wait for the rapture. But let me remind you, have a balance tonight. Love is patient. But though it's patient, though we wait for God and we do His work while we wait, that's true love. While we wait, we look forward to His coming. In other words, we say, I can't wait to see you, Lord. That's true love. Well, that's true love for God. Do you have that kind of attitude? Do you sit down and appreciate God and say, I hope in you and your promises. I just can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you face to face. It hopes all things. All things about Christ, no doubt about that. Heaven's going to be your home. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is an expected confidence. This is not like, yeah, we are, wish, I hope. No, this is, I hope and it's coming. And I believe that the Lord's going to fulfill His promise. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Number one, God cannot lie. He promised salvation. He promised eternity. He promised that would be with Him and live forever with Him before He even created us. What a promise. In the hope of the promise, eternal life that God wants to give you if you haven't got it already. He says that He cannot lie. And by the way, God is not a man that He should lie. He is a God that keeps His word. He doesn't break His promise. He doesn't go back at His word. He doesn't cheat, lie, or deceive people. This is why it just simply, this agape love, this 1 Corinthians 13, just puts away this doctrine of losing your salvation. You just can't study the scriptures and you can't study words without realizing that losing your salvation doesn't exist in the Bible. You just have to see it and you just have to ponder upon the scriptures and see the character of God and know that God keeps His word. And if someone's saved, they're saved forever. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is a very important passage based on the eternal security of our salvation. 1 John chapter 4 and beginning from verse 15, note what the Bible says. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, if you fear here tonight, then your love or your understanding of true love is not perfected. Your understanding of God and who He is and what He has come to do and finish has not been matured in your understanding. You know, it's funny. Once a person understands God's love and once it clicks, that person just lights up and says, whoa, and is blown away. They're not doubting about it. They're not doubting God's word. It's just this light just comes on and they can see God's love and they can see they don't deserve it. But they can also have confidence of the fact that God loves them and where God is going to be, I'm going to be with Him. Love hopes all things. It doesn't fear. Fear has torment. It brings about torment and it just puts away love. And so we see in 2 Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. What? But of love and of power and of a sound mind. The Bible says, for we have not received the spirit of you have received the spirit of adoption again. You have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Daddy. A friend of mine, I don't know who I was speaking to, but we're going through this, and he actually mentions it. He mentioned it to me actually just not long ago. So if you call someone Daddy, calling God Daddy, isn't that blasphemy? And I appreciate his sensitivity there. But behold, what manner of love is this, that God, that we should be called the children of God? What love that God has given us, that yes, at night you can go down and sit on the bedside there and you can look up to God the Father and you can say, hi Dad, this is my day, this is how it turned out. You know it already, but I just want to let you know. Yeah, I didn't have a good day, Dad. This is what happened. This is how I treated that person. Wow. You can call him Daddy. What amazing love this is. What a hope that we have in Christ. It hopes all things. And yes, my friend, tonight, it hopes that God is your Father and you have a relationship that cannot be broken and nothing can be separated you from the love of God. True believers, no doubt, trust God's word and anticipate the fulfillment of his promises. The Bible says, commit thy ways unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And lastly tonight, love, true love, charity endures all things. This means to keep on, to abide in, to bear with. Love perseveres and does not give in. It's similar to bear with. But this, I believe, is to have the indication of being faithful to the end. Faithful for the sake of others. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. He says, I go through the sufferings and persecutions and all things that come my way. I endure them for who? The elect's sake, that they may be saved. And then we see that it doesn't only endure for others, but it endures to please the Lord. The Bible says there, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, note it, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. This endurance that we do by love or by the Spirit of God, we do it for the fact that we want to please God. But there's no way in the world that you can ever please God if you're entangled with the affairs of this life. If you want the accolades, the fashion, the parade, and all the rest of it, if you want the direction which the world is going in, you cannot please God. God says that we need to endure all these things. What? False doctrine, worldliness, things that we're fighting against, standing up for the faith, as we said this morning, we need to endure all things. Why? Not only for others, but to please the Lord. But we also see that this true love is faithful to the end. It endures to the end. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning from verse 5, and this is after he mentions that in the last day there are going to be people that are not going to heed sound doctrine. Remember, we spoke about that this morning. They have itching ears. And he goes on to say, but Timothy, I want you to do something, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Watch it. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And true love, walking in the Spirit of God, to please God, to live in for others, finishes. It finishes. So in other words, you don't go and walk through the Spirit of God and then you stop, you give up, you give in. True love finishes to the end, endures all things. And listen, let me say this. It endures the time of the 21st century. A lot of people say our kids, our teens have it the worst in the 21st century. And they may have it bad. And I'm not going to be simply denying that. But I guarantee you the same Holy Spirit of God that gives you that love to live for Him is still active today as it was back then. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's not the 21st century society that we're living in. It's the lack of faith and love that the teen has for God. That's what it is. People want to blame the 21st century. But I guarantee you, if you have true love, you can pass through this 21st century and you can finish to the end and you can say like Paul the Apostle, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, I have endured to the end by God's grace. Let me ask a question tonight. If God gave you 2 months to live, 2 months, would you change anything with the way that you're living now? Would you change anything? Or can you honestly say, I'm where God wants me to be. I'm going where He wants me to be. Yeah, I fall. I'm not talking about falling. I'm not talking about your daily flaws and different things like that. These are things that are always going to come up and we confess it. I'm talking about your direction right here, right now. Would you change it? Would you do things differently? God said that you had 2 months to live. Would you change the way your life is going? See, Paul the Apostle said, I'm about to be beheaded. I'm about to be offered. They're going to take my head. And he knew that. And it wasn't like Paul the Apostle had to adjust and said, oh, I need to read my Bible a bit more. I better stop going to those places. I better stop doing this or doing that. No, Paul the Apostle said, no. I'm already in God's will. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm enduring to the end. This is my time. And let me say this. True love endures to the end. It fights the good fight of faith. You say, why is it a fight? By the way, it is a fight and it's a good one because we've won. You read Revelation. But you can lose the fight when you no longer have true love for your God and you no longer continue on enduring hardness. Fighting against error, fighting against sin, fighting against the system, and just simply resisting the devil's temptation. But love endures all these things. A just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. He's not down and out. Why? Because God loves picked him up again. He says, get up, boy. Gives him a little push. Get up. Keep going. That's God's love. I was thinking about it the other day. Oh, Elisha. He was having a terrible day. He was so rebellious. Throwing himself on the ground. He wouldn't listen. Time and time. All day. Got me to the point where I was really angry and frustrated with him. And then when I took him to bed, I said, Elisha, I want to give you a nice goodnight kiss. Go to bed quietly, please. It's time to sleep. And he wouldn't. Cry. He wants out. You know, Elisha, please, don't end it like this. All day today. And then I go to sleep and wake up in the morning and here you see him. All chirpy and ready to go for the day again. And it just hit me. You say, what hit you? The mercy of the Lord anew every morning. I forgot everything that he'd done yesterday. Everything. I just saw his wonderful head there and just grabbed him and kissed him. And I think, you know, Charlie, you're a sinful man. You're an evil, sinful, flawed person. And you have that kind of love for your child? What about God's love for you? You know what's going to help us endure? When you keep your eyes on the Lord. Hebrews, and we're going to close. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You keep your eyes on the cross. His love that was shed for us. The Bible says there, looking unto Jesus in verse 2, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You know, he wasn't joyful about going through the sufferings. On the contrary, remember in the garden he prayed and he said, Lord, if it be your will, take it away, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. No, he was joyful of the fact that he was going to endure that suffering for you, knowing that you will live and that you would have a home in heaven and that your relationship with God will be restored. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Note it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, the greatest love presented in our lives, 1 Corinthians 13, lived out in Jesus Christ. John 3:16 wrapped up. 1 John 3:16 together. First John 3:16. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And sharing this story in closing tonight, a 36-year-old mother was discovered to be in advanced stages of terminal cancer. One doctor advised her to spend her life and her remaining days taking a holiday. The other physician offered her hope only to live 2 or more years with the grueling side effects of radiation. She penned down the following words to her 3 small children. She said, I've chosen to survive for you. This has some horrible cost, including pain, loss of good humor and moods. I won't be able to control. But I must try this. If only the slightest chance that I might live 1 minute longer, and that minute could be that the one that you might need when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle, tooth and nail, so help me God. She chose to endure a life of pain and suffering to live out the few years that she had for the sake of her children. Let me say this to you tonight. Love dies for others. It lays down their life for another person. True love does not stop loving and is not weary in doing so. True love continues. It's unconditional. It's everything that was mentioned in the last messages. True love does not give way at any time. It doesn't fail, doesn't drop off. True love, charity, never faileth. May God help us, by His grace, continue to look to the one that demonstrated that love, and that we'd say, Lord, I want that love in my life. I want to walk in the Spirit in my life, to live a life that you lived for others. True love, charity, never fails.